I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here in the Leaders Portfolio studio. Joining us now is Roger Quick, president and CEO of Quick Leonard Kiefer. Quick Leonard Kiefer was founded by Roger in 1999 in Chicago as a privately held executive search consulting firm. Roger, give us a snapshot of your business model.
Well, first off, thank you very much for talking to me today. It's a real pleasure. You know, our business model is one that's worked for us since 1999. We're a small group of recruiters. There's about 13 partners in the firm, and we work for a limited number of clients, mostly in the health and non-for-profit space, and they entrust us with finding their senior leaders for their teams, and we go out and do that, and it's been a great run. We've been doing it now since 1999.
Excellent. Now, your private firm differs from publicly traded executive search firms that, and in that case, they need to hit quarterly targets with X number of searches per consultant. So what are the main differences between you and those publicly traded companies?
Well, you know, I've worked for some of those publicly traded companies, so I'm very familiar with the differences. And I think the primary difference is just sort of the culture that you feel in those firms. Those firms are responsible to shareholders and to the market. So because of that, I think they have to worry more about the number of searches that they execute per year and how quickly they execute the searches. In our business, we're privately held. We're owned by our employees. So consequently, you know, we want to make a profit. We're here to make a profit, but we don't feel that pressure. We feel the pressure more of just doing a really good job for the clients.
Excellent. And you mentioned earlier that your specialty is health care and nonprofits. How did you arrive into that specialties?
Well, you know, it's really all of our backgrounds. And we thought when we started, you know, almost 20 years ago, that the best people to do searches are people who know a lot about the jobs they're searching for. My background is healthcare. I go back almost 40 years in the healthcare space. One of my partners is a physician. Several of our partners have been nurse executives. Some of our partners have come out of the healthcare association space. So we really thought you need to know as much about these organizations that we work for as we can. So consequently, that's the kind of people we recruit, and that's the area where we feel most comfortable in recruiting.
I guess you're kind of excited about the baby boomer generation then all retiring, right? There will be a definite need for healthcare executives.
Yeah, you know, it's an exciting time to be in healthcare, not only because all of us are, you know, aging, but with things that are going on in Washington, D.C., the changes, it's a very, very exciting time to do what we do.
Do you have any thoughts on the landscape of healthcare in D.C.?
You know, I don't. I've not been closely associated with this administration. When Governor Romney ran 4 years ago, I worked on his transition team, and actually my assignment was to help them find leaders for the health cabinet. So, as you know, the outcome of that, all that work, you know, didn't really lead to much. So I haven't been following it as closely, although I know my clients have, and I think my clients generally are optimistic. I think my clients are of the opinion that, you know, it's not a perfect system. Certainly getting all these people insured that weren't is a very, very important thing for our country, and it's important for the finances of our hospitals, certainly. But I do think that people are excited that some of the things that may have been less than perfect, you know, people are talking about it. So it's a really exciting time to be in healthcare, and it's a really exciting time for me to help people who are in healthcare look for new leaders.
What's one thing you learned about leadership as you were on the Presidential Transition Committee for Governor Romney in 2012?
Well, you know, I've learned that experience is really, really important. You can certainly be the smartest person in the room. You can certainly, you know, have a great gravitas, but you really need to have the life experiences, and you really need to have some time and place to have learned some things that, you know, you just have to know when you lead an organization. And that doesn't mean you have to be 70 years old to do that. I mean, some people have learned those things and had those life experiences at a much younger age. But I guess what I found then and what I found in all these years doing searches, most clients aren't looking for someone who's going to their first rodeo. I mean, most people are really looking for someone who have the life experiences, have developed the skill set, and have seen many of these problems before and draw upon those experiences.
Now, prior to forming QLK, you were president of Norman Broadbent International,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the largest search firms in the world. Talk to me about
it was,
your time there and the transition to where you are now.
You know, it continues today, and certainly when I was there, it was a wonderful firm. When I was there, we were the sixth largest search firm in the world. Very different than my firm now. You know, we're not international based. We're domestic only, and we're in a very, you know, pretty tight niche. Norman Broadbent had offices around the globe and were involved in almost every specialty you can think of, from financial services to technology to, you know, they had healthcare and they had the not-for-profit space that I'm in. But it was bigger and it was much, much broader in the kinds of clients it represented. I love that. I love this. When I was there, I was president for the North Americas. So I had Canada, United States, and Mexico. So, you know, I traveled a lot more than internationally. I still travel a great deal, but it's all domestic.
How does executive search differ in those countries?
You know, there aren't a lot of differences. I'm sure, you know, people scratch their heads when I say that. But, you know, basically, you need to understand what is your client looking for. And sometimes you got to help them with that. Sometimes they're not 100% sure. You've got to help them understand what you've heard to make sure that when you set out to look for these people, you are looking for what they need. So that's an important thing. And then, you know, in our business, you just find them the old-fashioned way. We put on headsets. Our partners and our principals put on headsets, like I have one on today. And you're dialing and smiling. You're calling people that you've had relationships with, who may know people who fit the qualifications that you're looking for. And you see a lot of people. On the typical search, we'll see about 20 people, and we'll present to our candidates maybe 8 or 9, and they'll interview probably 5, bring a couple back for another look, and then hire someone. So really the process isn't much different whether you're doing it for a client in London or whether you're doing it for a client in Peoria, Illinois. You got to understand what are they looking for. You got to make sure that they know you understand that, and then you just got to go find those people. There's a lot of vetting, there's a lot of qualifying, there's a lot of reference checking. Sometimes there's psychological testing involved, but it's not terribly different in one country to the other, honestly.
Interesting. That's a surprising answer. I would not have guessed that. So thank you for that information.
Sure.
We're here with Roger Quick, President and CEO of Quick Leonard Kiefer on Leaders Portfolio. And Roger, you spent 7 years as the chief lobbyist and spokesperson for Illinois's 250-plus hospitals, along with legislators in both Illinois and D.C. So, you know, we talked earlier a little bit about the link between government and business. We were talking about the Romney campaign, et cetera. But I would also imagine through this position, you learned more about the link between government and business. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I did learn a lot. And that, I have to say, as much as I love what I'm doing today, and I really do, that was a lot of fun because, you know, every day, you know, you shoot what you kill. I mean, you go to the legislators, you present an idea, and they vote it up or they vote it down. I mean, it does take some time to get to that process. But, you know, it's a live-and-die proposition. And I enjoy that very much. I did learn a lot about business. We were representing hospitals then, so, you know, we dealt with everything from how do we get paid for our Medicaid patients to, you know, things like what are the requirements for building a new hospital, the certificate of need process, is that good, is that bad? So I learned a lot about business, and I especially learned a lot about the healthcare business, which has been incredibly helpful to me now that I'm in executive search.
Interesting. Now, Quick Leonard Kiefer stated that 75% of your search assignments come from repeat clients. So what philosophies do you have that have allowed you to achieve that rate?
Well, I think, we're lucky, and I'm really, really proud of that. I mean, I'm much more proud of that than maybe anything. But, what we've learned is you're only as good as your last search. You may have done three searches for someone in the last year. Two of them have gone flawless. The last one was an imperfect search for whatever reason. And it may not be the search firm's fault. It may not be the client's fault. It may just be a supply and demand issue. But we've learned that you're only as good as your last search. So every time you do a search, in some ways you're starting all over again. You've got to keep that credibility with the client. The other thing that we've learned from so much repeat business is you really do get to know an organization. I have someone who's just announced his retirement today, and coincidentally, and I placed him 27 years ago as the CEO of Silver Cross Hospital. In 27 years, we've done lots of searches for that organization. It's almost like you're an extension of them. It's almost like you're a member of the team. You have so much history. You have so much knowledge. You get the culture. You know what works and what doesn't work. So I think what we've learned and why we've really appreciated the repeat businesses, you become a part of their team. It's a shortcut to the searches. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I love new clients, don't get me wrong. I love when I have a new client, but I certainly do appreciate those 75% of the people who continue to use us on and on.
Excellent. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. You're listening to Leaders Portfolio at leadersportfolio.com. Here with us is Roger Quick, President and CEO of Quick Leonard Kiefer. I want to thank some supporters of leadership that Leaders Portfolio has. Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. Roger Quick, President and CEO of Quick Leonard Kiefer is here with us. Roger, your background is the Southern Illinois University. Did you receive your bachelor's there?
I did receive my bachelor's there. I grew up in the area. I grew up maybe an hour from Carbondale, where that university is in Southern Illinois. And, it was sort of a generational thing for our family. We really, I don't know that I knew that there were a lot of options beyond SIU. I went there. I loved it. It's a great school, and I continue to support it.
Excellent. And what's your overall leadership philosophy?
I think my leadership philosophy, and that's a really good question, Rebecca, that I'm glad you asked, but I've got to pause just a second and think. I think my leadership philosophy for my own business is get the very best people you can, just like with our clients, get the very, very best people you can. There's not a lot of room for error when you're hiring people. I mean, it's distracting when it doesn't work out well. So we spend a long time making sure that we've got the right people. So that's one thing. Secondly, then, is we allow them to do their job. We don't want people who are waiting, to be told this is what you need to do. So we give people a lot of accountability. We give people a lot of responsibility. And then I think my other leadership, and maybe the third thing I'd say, Rebecca, is it's okay to make mistakes. I mean, it's okay to make a mistake if you learn from that mistake, if you recognize that mistake, and if you don't make it very often again. But I guess I'd have to say get the best people you can, get out of their way, and don't have a culture of fear. It's okay if, you stub your toe. That's okay.
What, give us an example of when you've stubbed your toe and how did you get out of it?
Oh, I've made placements that were apparently imperfect placements because in a year or less, the client has said, you know what, this hasn't been the solution for us. We need to go back to the market. And I don't know what other firms do, but we guarantee our work. If it's a CEO placement, which a lot of our searches are, we guarantee it for 3 years, which I know that sounds extreme, but we've just found that, we've got to share and we've got to have skin in the game for these placements. So, we sit down with the client, we figure out why it wasn't a perfect solution for them, and we go back to the market, and hopefully we don't make the same mistake. So, our track record is great, but I will tell you there are times when, we're disappointed just like anybody else's, where you haven't found the perfect solution despite all the referencing, despite all the vetting, despite all the qualifying.
And what advice do you have for companies that are doing searches? What do you wish they knew?
Number one, I wish they knew that it's a very much relationship business. There's lots of people who do what I do, and, you know, they're terrific firms out there. They really are. But the firm is less important than the relationship you have with the partner. So I think the first thing is, you know, be really, really comfortable that the person is someone you want to work with, someone who can understand what you're looking for, someone who can take criticism. But I guess the number one thing I hope they know is, This is all about the person and not as much about the firm. So that's one thing. I guess the second thing is, you know what, this doesn't happen overnight. You know, the typical search for us will take 90 days at least. And, you know, some searches, if it's an academic medical center, can take 6 months to a year. So you got to be patient. You got to allow us the time to cast the nets, to interview these people, to qualify these people, to reference these people. So what I'd say is you have to be patient. I mean, if you have a need that you're expecting us to fill in 30 days or less, you probably have got the wrong process for doing that. So that's something I'd like them to know. The other thing I guess I'd like them to know is that you just got to understand that this is a two-way street. When you're interviewing, you're also selling. Now, obviously, you got to spend the time to find out if this is the right person for you. But, you know, it's so competitive out there today, particularly in healthcare, that, you know, you really got to understand that you've got to be selling your opportunity, too. You can't just, you know, expect you can't be anything other than letting them interview you while you're interviewing them.
Hmm. So what do you think it means to be a leader specifically of an executive search firm?
Well, you know, I think it means that you're willing to put your reputation on the line for every search you do. You know, we do searches that are huge, you know, for systems that are enormous. But we also have searches where we're looking at a vice presidential level, and you just got to understand that one's as important as the other. Every time you take a client and every time they entrust you, it's the most important decision they're making, and you have to treat it the same way. So I think that's one thing I would say. The other thing that I'd say that's important in leading a firm is, you know, you have to be pretty courageous. In our business, you know, we're lucky. We have a lot of repeat customers and clients and friends. But, you know, you have ups and downs. You have highs and lows, and you just have to be prepared that some days you're going to worry that you can't get all the work done, and some days you're worried that you're never going to do another one again. So I think a leader is someone who's fearless, who exudes confidence, and who you know, just make sure that everyone is as perfect as everyone can be. There's no search that's more important, regardless of the size of the fee or the title of the job. Your reputation's on the line for everyone you do.
Excellent. How did the Great Recession affect your firm?
You know, we were lucky. There are large firms that laid off, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I'm talking about the giant firms. We were lucky. We just hunkered down. I mean, certainly we saw a drop in our revenue, a drop in the number of searches we did. There's no question it affected us. But, you know, we survived it just fine. We didn't let anyone go. The other thing I think that caused it to be easier for us, healthcare, I won't say it's recession-proof, but everybody needs healthcare. Everybody wants the best health care possible. So I don't think health care was hit nearly as hard in the recession as other industries. And I think the people who do health care and not-for-profit searches benefited from that tremendously.
Interesting. I want to close with this question, which was, I know you chaired the Smoke-Free Chicago campaign and the Smoke-Free Illinois campaign. Both campaigns had successful outcomes, right? You banned smoking, and then therefore the American Cancer Society ended up giving you the highest honor awarded to a volunteer. So how did you accomplish this?
With a lot of people. You know, the way this happened, you know, I'd been to Ireland with my family on a holiday, and Ireland had banned, you know, smoking in certain places. And I came back that year. I was chairing the American Cancer Society, and I said, you know what, guys, we can do better than this. I mean, we can do better than this. And so we got a group of really prominent people. We went outside our own organization. We got really prominent people, and we put together a blue ribbon committee, and we sat down and we said, how do we get this done? And, we hired the best PR firm we could find. We hired the best lobbying firm we can find. And I would tell you, now that it's, been the law for so long, you wouldn't think it was as hard to do as it was, but it was really, really very difficult to do. But we did it with a lot of people, and we treated it like a business proposition. What do we need to do? When do we need to do it? We funded it with funds from the American Cancer Society. We were lucky that we had their unqualified support, and we just set out to do it. We did Chicago before Illinois. The first campaign was Chicago, which we always thought would be harder, and it was. And then shortly after that, maybe a year later, we did Illinois. So both were successful.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Roger, for joining us on Leaders Portfolio. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate you talking to me today, Rebecca, and good luck.
Roger Quick, President and CEO of Quick, Leonard Kiefer, here with us. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, thanking the supporters of leadership. Some of our Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn, Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio by sending us an email on our website for a sponsorship packet. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership on Leaders Portfolio. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, asking you what's in your portfolio.